Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of March, recording at 9:31 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The European stock markets were mostly a bit weaker. No really big declines, but some in the order of 1% or a little more. The European stock markets did much better today, mostly with gains of over 1%, and I see the Italian markets actually up 2.93%. It liked the take-up of loans from the ECB. Now, in the Americas, the best gainer was the Brazilian market, which has been in fine form. That was up 1.52%. Wall Street closed with modest gains here, but the S&P is testing its high of this year, up 0.62%. NASDAQ is sort of slightly firmer overall. The Dow still 20 points below that 13,000 psychological level. Now, in long-dated government bond prices, we had continued selling in here, and the U.S. long bond is down over a point as I speak. They were all weaker. And the U.S. dollar, that's pretty much unchanged. It's a little firmer against the euro, which has slipped back to 133.12. The Aussie's firm, though, up to 108 and a bit. Sterling hanging tough at 159.52. Now, the precious metals firm generally, particularly silver. Of course, we had the big blowout yesterday, but it was up 86 cents today here, currently at 35.51. Platinum's up over 9. Palladium is twice as strong as that. And gold up 20 at 17.17. And what else to mention? Crude oil. Now, this really is a concern again. The markets have been really swinging around quite sharply. There was a surge. I'm not quite sure what the news item was. No doubt the financial channels will have it. But the WTI crude got up to 110.55. It's still up 169 at 108.76. And the Brent got up to 128.40 for pulling back. But it's still up $3.72 at 126.37. And in industrial metals, we were higher with the exception of a tiny decline in zinc. That copper is pretty steady, 393.70.70. Grains and beans, they were mostly a little easier, the exception being soybeans, a fraction firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are consolidating. Well, some of them are. They're doing it on a rotational basis, which is good. That's the way the world used to work before high-frequency logarithmic trading exerted an unhealthy overall influence. So that's fine. If we get little pauses and consolidations on a rotational basis, it makes sense. It suggests that normal investors are still in charge rather than the are in charge rather than the machines. And this is all occurring well above those rising 200-day moving averages, or certainly in most instances that's the case. So it's been quite an exemplary performance. We do have we still have overbought conditions. With those crude oil prices so strong, there is a risk that markets suddenly take fright and we get the sort of downward dynamics that we saw in gold and silver yesterday. But we have to put that in the context of the overall picture, and that is that this looks like, as I've said now for what I've been saying throughout the year, and was forecasting back in December, this really does look absolutely like a cyclical bull market. Well, it's not looks like, it is. It's confirmed it. The statistics confirm it. If you look at the rises that we've seen from those October lows, unquestionably, this is a cyclical bull market. Now, so that overbought condition it leaves it somewhat susceptible to reactions and consolidations, but hopefully not too much worse than that. When I say hopefully, the wild card, which does really concern me, remains crude oil. And the monetary policy remains exceptionally accommodative. And monetary policy is, in my opinion, the biggest influence of all on these equity prices. So there we are. Long-dated government bond prices have really shown some rollover within their broad trading ranges. And the Fed has stepped back from its QE for the time being. The Fed is hoping that the U.S. economy has gained enough traction so that it doesn't need any more QE. Stock markets wobbled a little bit yesterday on the mention of that. But I think most investors realize that if we have an economy that can run on the basis or can run without quantitative easing, that's healthier. That's a better situation. And I think also people recognize that if that unemployment figure were to start to push up again and the economy weaken and the stock market swoon, hopefully that doesn't happen anytime soon, but if that were to happen, that the Fed would move right in again with more QE. So not a bad environment here overall for equities, but for bonds, it's becoming more risky. And if you look at I talked about some rounding topish characteristics in the long-dated government bond prices. Best probably to look at the yields, the longer-dated yields. And they show, as we teach it at the chart seminar, you had the spike down to those lows last year in that sort of August, September, and September period. And then you had a sharp bounce. That's the type 2 extreme reaction against the prevailing trend. And subsequently, we have this sort of rounding right-hand extension pattern. So it looks like a developing base. And I maintain that we will see those bond yields push higher over time. And I think it's only really a much weaker global economic environment that I envisage at this time, assuming crude does not spike up to 150, and I don't think it will, and very much hope it doesn't. We will see those yields move higher. Now, looking at the commodities, remember this is a secular bull market, and those secular bull markets are punctuated by setbacks. I think the setback in precious metals that we saw yesterday, remember we had a good steady rally from those December lows, a very persistent rally, and take gold, for instance, and it got right back up to the November high, up near that $1,800 level. And when that happened in November, gold fell back very sharply. got back down to just about 1500 once again. So having seen gold push all the way back up to that 1800 level, my surmise in terms of what happened yesterday, and I know people attributed it to Bernanke not mentioning more QE, but to me that was the straw, that the metaphorical straw that broke the camel's back. In other words, it was just a small factor. What happened, I think, is that it caused just enough weakness to trigger a lot of stops that were in the market, and then it went into free fall. And that gold market is being dominated, certainly in the short term, by trading activity overall. But both gold and silver are still above their rising 200-day moving averages, and that's positive. Or those moving averages, I should say, are rising once again, having weakened earlier in this long correction and consolidation that we have seen. I think overall this is still a good environment for gold. I've mentioned on a number of occasions that having moved upwards from $270 up to $1,900 at one point, it's no longer cheap. But with all this money creation that's going on around the world, lots of dodgy government debt, is gold a good component to have in one's portfolio? Well, I think so. Yes, definitely. And but is gold easy to trade in this environment here right now? No, because it's choppy. And most corrective phases are difficult to trade. Better to buy low than to sell high. And that also applies to investors in gold. So I'll be reasonably relaxed if it stays. I'll be more than relaxed if it stays above that rising 200-day moving average. It won't always do that, of course. But our long-term forecast is that gold would eventually move higher in the secular bull phase and eventually end probably with another blaze of glory to the upside before rising interest rates eventually choke it off. I still look for that. Now, and that would, again, silver will function as high beta gold as it has throughout, in my opinion. Now, industrial metals, they show support building activity. They've been mostly quiet. Copper's done best and looks like one of the more slower motion recoveries that stock markets have seen. And but, you know, it has that buildup of support from the August and September period onwards, and it's pushed back above its moving average 200-day, which is also turning up. And that's a good sign here overall. But commodity price inflation is going to flare up from time to time, as we've seen with crude. But the we're not seeing across the boards commodity price inflation at this stage, but I would expect certainly if stock markets continue to improve, which I think is more likely than not, and if crude oil does not move up sufficiently to weaken global economies, then we will. So it's heavily qualified by this crude, as you can see. It's such a game changer. But as long as crude doesn't go too high in here, then global GDP growth will not be jeopardized by the crude. But we're right on the edge here. In other words, another $10-$20, and I think we are getting into trouble. Okay. The only exception to that would be if it moved up very slowly. If it moves up very quickly, problems. Now, will President Obama, or would President Obama release some oil from the U.S. strategic reserves as those gas prices push upwards in the U.S.? Yes. Yes, he would. He would because it's an election year. And he would because he would have some justification, certainly, in doing so as those gas prices moved up. He could do that in the interest of the U.S. economy. And he would do so because every president since George Henry Walker Bush, that's the first President Bush, has at one time or another released some oil from the strategic reserves. And I'd do it if I were president as well, because you do not want higher oil prices jeopardizing the global GDP growth. He would be thinking primarily of U.S. growth, but it would have global implications. And a hefty release from that U.S. stockpile would certainly knock back the price, and it would not leave, because I don't think anybody's expecting it at this time, and it would not leave the U.S. vulnerable, and because it's producing more oil right now than it has for decades, so it could easily replenish it out of its own production. That's a thought to end this broadcast on, and I am also going to be away for a little bit. I'll be away tomorrow, and I'll be away next week, but back in the office on Monday, the 12th of March. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.